single voice to a spectacular 60-part Anne's Day. For the week of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee, a glorious programme of outsized pieces of Renaissance and early Baroque polyphony, live from the Bath Festival. Including Talis's Spermin Allium and the work that inspired it. Radio 3, live in concert. Tuesday night on BBC Radio 3 from 7:30.
BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio. You can also listen to us live online in high-definition sound. It's just gone 1 o'clock. Time for the news read by Lopa Qatari.
The ousted president of Egypt, Hosni Mubarak, has been sentenced to life in prison for ordering the shooting of hundreds of protesters during the Arab Spring last year. It's being reported that he suffered a heart attack after being taken to prison. His interior minister has also received a life sentence. Mubarak's two sons, Gamal and Alaa, were cleared of corruption offences but are now being held on new financial charges. There were clashes both inside and outside the court after the verdict was announced. Mubarak's lawyers say they will appeal. A British aid worker kidnapped in Afghanistan has been freed after an operation by special forces overnight. 28-year-old nutritionist Helen Johnston, a Kenyan medic, and two Afghan colleagues were rescued in Badakhshan province. David Cameron authorised the rescue and described it as an extraordinarily brave, breathtaking mission. The Ministry of Defence says a soldier serving the 1st Battalion, the Royal Welsh, has been shot dead in southern Afghanistan. The soldier was on patrol in the Nari Seraj district of Helmand province. His relatives have been told. Two men have been arrested in connection with the beating of a man outside a mosque in Birmingham. The 22-year-old victim is in a critical condition in hospital after the attack in the Smalls Heath area of the city yesterday. The official start of the 4-day celebration of the Queen's Diamond Jubilee is being marked with a 41-gun salute at Horse Guards Parade. The Queen is attending the Epsom Derby today. Hundreds of boats are gathering on the River Thames for tomorrow's Jubilee pageant. UNESCO says it's worried about the future of Australia's Great Barrier Reef, which it says is threatened by industrial development. The UN agency says plans to increase exports of coal, iron ore and gas could harm the unique ecosystem of coral and islands. And finally, the weather. It'll be dry but rather cloudy for most, although outbreaks of patchy rain or drizzle are possible in places. The best of the sunshine will be across Scotland and Northern Ireland. And that's the latest BBC News. The time is coming up to 1:03.
And it was read by Lopa Qatari. Well, now on Radio 3, today's edition of the Early Music Show with Catherine Bott.
Hello. On today's Early Music Show, I'm on an outing to Yorkshire. No, I haven't come to York. That's an early music festival that takes place in July. I'm in Beverley, an enchanting town, which, like York, has a Minster. And like York, it has an early music festival. The annual Beverley and East Riding Early Music Festival is celebrating its 25th birthday this year. And although it may be shorter in duration than the York one, it still offers a stellar lineup. This year includes Stile Antico, La Serenissima, Red Priest, William Carter, Alva. Making their festival debut with a medieval banquet of musical delights are the three players and one singer who make up Grand Désir. Their programme in the choir of Beverley Minster was simply and aptly entitled Danse et Chanson, Dance and Song.
Promesse qu'on ne jura tenir. Oh.
The first piece in Grand Désir's programme at Beverley, Or ne veut de bien, a song by Dufay, with a rather tragic lyric. Hope deceives when you're a prisoner of love and your beloved breaks every promise. It was sung by mezzo-soprano Anna-Marika Evers with the three members of Grand Désir, Anita Orm de la Marta, who plays recorders and harp during the course of the concert, Henri Harmelin, the lutenist, and Elizabeth Rumsey playing a viola d'arco, which she gave me permission to describe in English as a Renaissance viol. Now, I hadn't seen Grand Désir for two or three years, so it was a great pleasure to talk to them after their rehearsal. I seized the opportunity to capture singer Anna-Marika Evers and harpist and recorder player Anita Orm de la Marta. We sat in the choir and talked about how things were for Grand Désir and all about them while the tourists wandered round the Minster admiring its beauties. First, here's Anita Orm de la Marta. How was this programme put together?
Well, I'm always looking for connections and crossovers of any kind. So whether it's contemporary music linked to early music or dances linked to chansons, connections always fascinate me. And Friedrich Crane's research on the bassadans therefore fascinated me because he really looked at where did these bassadans melodies come from. The bassadans is a little special because both dancers and musicians don't really know what to do with it, with the French bassadans. There's much more information on the Italian bassadans. And of course, that sparked my curiosity as well, because it's more interesting to do something people don't know so much about as something people have written a lot about. So what Friedrich Crane did was look at the origins of the melodies. Where did they come from? Are there connections between some of the bassadans tenors and the bass lines, or the so-called tenors in chansons? And he found that there are. Some chansons very little, sometimes it's even a few notes, sometimes it's really a speculation, and sometimes there's really clear lines that are identifiable. So I really developed that research, connected his work, and added our own improvisations and intabulations, as well as existing ones that are also written out over chansons, like the Buxheim organ book.
Anita Orm de la Marta of Grand Désir. The next group in their programme started with an anonymous dance called Maîtresse or Mistress and went on to another tender love lyric by Gilles Binchois, L'ami de Madame, which translates very simply as My lady's friend has come, I should make way for him, so here's a fond adieu.
Thank you.
an anonymous bass dance, Maîtresse, and Gilles Binchois' song L'Ami de Madame, performed by Grand Désir in the Beverly and East Riding Early Music Festival. To put Grand Désir's recital into context, I sought out festival director Delma Tomlin, and we talked outside the Minster's west door while enjoying the sunshine and the refreshing breeze. I began by asking Delma the simple question. 25 years ago, why did you think of Beverly as the place for an early music festival?
Beverly sort of found itself, really, in medieval times. This was the place where all the musicians got together, and it's part of a musicians' union. And if you're standing outside the Minster, as we are today, as we go inside, there are the carvings of musical instruments and angels playing the most wonderful range of medieval everything's, really. The pop music of the day, the instruments, the classical instruments of the day, everything. Beverly just is the place.
And as well as the Minster, there are other wonderful venues.
There are venues across Beverly which just make it the most ideal space for a festival. There's the large-scale venues like the Minster, but then there's a small-scale Guildhall, which is still looks like the most beautiful little Georgian court. There's St Mary's Parish Church, which supposedly has the little carvings in that Alice in Wonderland came from, the rabbit. So we'll all go and search for the rabbit later on this afternoon. And then there are just lovely places all across the town.
If you can't see the Minster when you first come to Beverly, nothing prepares you for how glorious and grand it actually is.
The Minster is extraordinary, partly because, of course, it's so unabused, in the sense that all the statues are still in all the niches, and you can really see what it was that was built here in the first place. And the story has it that at one particular stage in our history, when they were asked, as it were, rather asked in a determined sort of way, to destroy churches, the Bevelovians said, OK, fine, we'll get on with it. You carry on, because obviously you're very busy soldiers. You carry on over there, and we'll do it whilst you've gone away. And, of course, they didn't bother with that, but clever lot.
Well, that's how they get to be called Bevelovians, which is a word that I hadn't actually heard before. I like it very much. Three dances from the late 15th century played by Grand Désir. There was lots of room for improvisation in this repertoire, and they gave us some with an improvisation that led into an anonymous estampille royale, followed by a dance setting of Triste Plaisir, which is a very contradictory text when we finally heard the Binchois song. This is a song that emphasises the contradictions of love. Triste Plaisir means sad pleasure. There's also painful joy, bitter sweetness, and you can follow the pattern. Some good and some bad are with the singer everywhere, although he is alone.
Thank you.
Triste Plaisir by Binchois, sung by Anna-Marika Evers. And before it, another Triste Plaisir played instrumentally and an Estampie Royale. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to The Early Music Show with me, Catherine Bott. Today, a beautiful concert of 15th century music recorded at the Beverley and East Riding Early Music Festival. The artists were Grand Désir. And if you want to listen again, of course, there's the iPlayer, and all details of the music in today's programme are, as usual, on the Early Music Show page of the Radio 3 website. How do Grand Désir decide how to score each piece? What instruments to use?
There's a lot we do know, and of course there's a lot we don't know. And I'm very careful to, for example, make decisions where the recorder would overlap a new text that couldn't be heard. Some of these pieces, there's a chanson that isn't complete, so we filled in the missing text with the recorder. So that's one option. I mean, you could also say we then don't perform the full rondo form, we only perform an AB, or we perform the full rondo and we hum the rest. So yes, of course, these are decisions to make. But once you've got a manuscript and there's a certain amount of text missing, you need to make some kind of a decision how you're going to fill up that text or how you're going to cut the form short. I would also be careful on the instrumental things we perform now, especially the intabulations, are written as instrumental things. Of course, the basse danse was known. It was performed instrumentally. As for the chansons, with the only exception of Petit Camusette, the instruments only perform bits that don't have any texts in the manuscript. That seems like a bit of a black and white decision to make, because it's very optically there. Do we have the text or not? And then, of course, a lot boils down to experimentation. What works? I mean, there's a few lines that we performed and we just said, oh, that doesn't quite work on the lute because it needs an instrument that carries it more. So then perhaps even the harp with braid pins that just carries that little bit further than just a plucked instrument would be a better decision. So then it boils down also to musical taste.
Yes, well, I'm getting the impression that you are both very pragmatic. And also from hearing you that you have very good musical taste. Do you feel that you need to be champions of this music, that this proper, very early music is still a little bit neglected as Baroque music sweeps everybody away?
Probably also because it isn't heard that often, so a lot of people doesn't get the exposure to the music. And what we hear quite a lot after we got a concert, that people say, I didn't know that this existed, and we were transported to another world. Or when we're performing in a 14th or 15th century church, or here in the Minster, for example, right? Really historical buildings, and where really the music fits into the time of the building, it makes probably a real another experience. And I think our duty or our goal is to really bring out enthusiasm for this early, really early music over to the public and really try to convince them that this is a beautiful piece of the musical history and that we really would like people to know more about it.
Anna Marika Evers and Anita Orm de la Marta, founders of Grand Désir. And next, a charming song about Petite Camusette, Little Snubnose, a girl that the singer can't get out of his mind. That's by Ockeghem. And before it, two versions of the bass dance tune Modo Comore.
Thank you.
two dances on the Modo Comore tune and Ochaghem's poignant little rustic love song Petite Camusette, Little Snubnose, performed by Grand Désir. The nucleus of Grand Désir is definitely Anna-Marika Evers and Anita Orm de la Marta. How do they go about choosing other players to join them?
We ask different musicians. We've got a core group of musicians whom we know and with whom we prefer and like to work, but we do have different musicians for each programme, which of course also gives the flexibility to search the musicians we need according to the programme we're performing.
Well, doing this chamber music, you really do have to have rapport, not just as musicians, but also as people, because it sounds transparent and simple, but it's very intricate. I was talking to Jordi Savall last week, and I asked him how he selected the players for his group Le Concert des Nations, and he said, it's very simple, I choose nice musicians who are also nice people.
Yes, I think there's a lot of truth in that, because of course you need good musicians who are also experienced in doing this music, but the reality is that, you know, for one concert there's a lot of travelling involved, there's a lot of cooperation needed on a personal level. So of course it is very important that on a personal level you get on as well, rather than just performing on stage and not speaking to each other outside the rehearsal, because as you say, the music is very transparent, and I'm sure that behaviour would then also be reflected on stage and could be heard on stage.
How do you find singing here in the choir of Beverley Minster?
Oh, it's actually very lovely. I think it's sort of a direct sound, although it has a warmth around it. It's not like the sometimes you have in cathedrals or in Minster, that it's floating away and it doesn't have any focus anymore. But it's here, it goes a long way, but it has the roundness of the
bloom of the sound.
Yeah.
Thank you.
settings of the idea of Franc-cœur gentil, a Basque dance, and then Dufay's exquisite lyrical song sung by Anna Marika Evers with Grand Désir. And the group finished their concert with a dance setting and then a song.
Our final song is Filles à marier, and that's really a warning for eligible girls. And the message is actually think twice, not once, but really twice, because jealousy doesn't bring joy in a marriage, not for him, but also not for her. So therefore, beware and really use your brain.
A timeless message for women. A dance and then a sung version of the witty concept of women showing some independence of thought, a warning to girls not to marry in haste. Filles à marier, ending Grand Désir's concert in this year's Beverly and East Riding Early Music Festival and also today's edition of the Early Music Show.
And that was Catherine Bott, and you can find full details of all the music in today's programme on the Radio 3 website. In tomorrow's programme, Catherine marks the Queen's Diamond Jubilee with a look at some of the influential musicians from the early music scene in the 1950s, including Thurston Dart, Alfred Deller, Robert Donington and Walter Bergman. That's tomorrow afternoon here on BBC Radio 3, at the same time, just after the 1 o'clock news.
The electric telegraph and the telephone, the electric light bulb, the typewriter, these might seem more useful, but the phonograph will become the instrument and shrine of music and poetry.
It's May 1889.
Would you consider recording a few poems on my phonograph?
My secretary deals with things of this sort.
Come on, sir, say yes.
The poet laureate Alfred Lord Tennyson stands before a newfangled phonograph machine.
The man is undoubtedly a genius.
Good Lord, I never thought of him in that way.
He takes a deep breath.
Over 600 stanzas of 4 lines each.
Couldn't you choose a few highlights?
And recites a poem. Tennyson and Edison.
The phonograph is a form of afterlife. Recorded sound is an ear on the infinite.
The next drama on 3, tomorrow night at 8:30.
And speaking of recorded sound, Radio 3 Live in Concert last night featured the opening concert from this year's English Music Festival in Dorchester on Thames. The BBC Concert Orchestra were joined by pianist Mark Bebbington in John Ireland's Legend and the first performance of an early work by Vaughan Williams, his Piano Fantasia. And the concert closed with another premiere, conductor Martin Yates' completion of E.J. Moiron's Second Symphony. And if you'd like to hear it, you can for the next, say, 6 days via the Listen Again facility at bbc.co.uk/radio3. It's a little after 2 o'clock and now the Radio 3 lunchtime concert, a second chance to hear last Monday's live broadcast from Wigmore Hall in London. Here to introduce it once more is Catherine Bott.
Welcome to Wigmore Hall for a recital by the multi-award-winning French pianist Jean-Flamme Bavouzy. For me to list all those awards would seriously delay his arrival on the platform. So to whet your appetite for his playing, let me just quote from a recent review in the Times. The sound of the Bavouzy fingers is distinctive. It is searching, penetrating, imaginatively fired, and endlessly curious in its exploration of any composer's unique sound palette and language. Well, the two composers whose sound palettes Jean-Flamme Bavouzy will be exploring today are Claude Debussy. We'll hear his Image Oubliée, Image Book One, and L'Île Joyeuse, and at the beginning and end of the programme, Franz Liszt. In 1847, Liszt began work on a series of contemplative works called, in English, Poetic and Religious Harmonies. These harmonies were inspired by a collection with the same name by the French poet Alphonse Lamartine. The first in this ambitious series of pieces is Invocation, in which Liszt turns Lamartine's silent hymn to the divinity into florid fervour. Liszt later reworked and expanded the piece, but today Jean-Flamme Bavouzy is going to play the original version. He follows that with three early pieces by Debussy that were eventually published as Images Oubliées, Forgotten Images. They were dedicated to Yvonne, the young daughter of the painter, Henri Lerolle, whose delicate beauty and gentleness were an inspiration to Debussy as he worked on his opera, Pelléas et Mélisande. The first of the three is marked Melancholy and Slow, the second is an elegant saraband, and the last, inspired by a sudden rainstorm, is simply Très vite, very fast. Now we welcome Jean-Flamme Bavouzy to play Debussy's Image Oubliée and first, Liszt's Invocation.